Welcome to Motivation to Write. This is the mini version of the podcast in which I share a writing tip per week. And today we're going to talk about metaphors. Have you ever met a metaphor you didn't like? I kind of stole that from a book title. The title of the book is I Never Met a Metaphor I Didn't Like, a comprehensive compilation of history's greatest analogies, metaphors, and similes. And if you love metaphors, you're going to love this book because it is just a collection of wonderful metaphors throughout time. Now, I've never met a metaphor I didn't like. Even the bad ones I find interesting because metaphors provide insight into how a writer or narrator thinks and feels about a topic. There's an essay called Metaphors We Live By. It's written by George Lakoff and Mark Johnson. I'm going to also link to that in the show notes. But they say in their essay that the essence of metaphor is understanding and experiencing one kind of thing in terms of another. Understanding and experiencing one kind of thing in terms of another. So the metaphors we choose to describe a person, place, thing, event, feeling, whatever, reflect how we understand and experience that person, place, thing. And I'm going to take it a step further. As writers, we can use metaphors to persuade and influence how we want our readers to think or feel about a topic. I want you to consider the following three examples from the essay, Metaphors We Live By. Here's example one. He shot down all my arguments. Here's example two. What she said left a bad taste in my mouth. And here's example three. I'll take my chances. In the first example, the argument is war. He shot down all my arguments. Argument is war. In the second example, what she said is food, right? What she said left a bad taste in my mouth. And in the third example, life is a gambling game. I'll take my chances. Now, I want you to understand how important word choice is when creating a metaphor, because imagine if the first sentence, instead of he shot down all my arguments, imagine if the first sentence read, he refuted all my arguments. He refuted all my arguments. Not only has the tone and the imagery changed, but the implied meaning has changed. The argument is no longer war. It is simply an argument. Let's look at a passage from Herman Melville's short story, Bartleby the Scrivener. It's one of my favorites. Notice how the narrator describes Bartleby. Okay, listen to this. At first, Bartleby did an extraordinary quantity of writing. As if long famishing for something to copy, he seemed to gorge himself on my documents. There was no pause for digestion. In this metaphor, work is food, and Bartleby is starving. We feel as though he needs this job to survive. Here's another example, one more example from Horace Minor's satirical essay, The Body Rituals of the Nicarema. Listen carefully. The focal point of the shrine is a box or chest, which is built into the wall. In this chest are kept the many charms and magical potions without which no native believes he could live. These preparations are secured from a variety of specialized practitioners. The most powerful of these are the medicine men, whose assistance must be rewarded with substantial gifts. If you're confused, don't worry. I was too when I first read this essay. I was like, what the heck is going on? Minor is satirizing Americans because Nicarema is an American spelled backwards. He's satirizing Americans' self-absorption and vanity. He describes this vanity to outsiders who look upon our obsessive body rituals as strange yet amusing. And he uses metaphors so that these curious readers understand and vicariously experience the ways of the Nicarema. In the above passage, the bathroom is a shrine chock full of charms and magical potions. In other words, peels, lotions, soaps, creams, by all the stuff that we keep in the vanity box. Like he actually refers to as a chest in this passage, right? The medicine cabinet in your bathroom. And we depend on these pills, lotions, and soaps and creams to survive is what he's suggesting. And the specialized practitioners are the doctors who prescribe to us these magical solutions. So Miner's use of metaphors are meant to persuade his readers to see American culture as utterly ridiculous. And it kind of works, actually. You should read, if you haven't read the essay, it's quite entertaining. So here are the takeaways. Number one, metaphors are expressions of our understandings and experiences. Number two, when creating metaphors, your choice of words make all the difference. Clearly understand the concept you're comparing your topic to and use words directly related to that idea. And number three, use metaphors to persuade or convey an idea to your audience. Be clear about your intention. What do you want them to do, think, or feel upon reading your metaphors? So now it is your turn to go out and introduce us to a metaphor that we love. All right. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for joining me. You can follow me on Twitter and Twitter at Ebony Haywood. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Motivation to Write. And you can subscribe to my weekly newsletter at zazo.com. Okay. See you next time. Bye-bye.